You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
You guys have done a great job for Bison Nation throughout the years here. Great to be on with you.
Last time you had me on, I told you guys were the best in the business, and I really mean that. Your coverage of Bison basketball is always top-notch, and the players, the coaches, the fans, we all appreciate it.
I mean, I think you and your staff now have done an amazing job with the Bison Report. Again, I think it gives NDSU fans an outlet to go to for good football coverage, elite basketball coverage, and everything recruiting.
You know, I really appreciate you guys, Bison Report, for what you guys do for Bison football.
Here's your host and publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglow.
What's up, Bison fans, and welcome to this very special edition of Bison Report Radio. Here in studio to talk spring ball, to talk life and the restaurant business, and maybe the greatest post-championship picture of all time, Mike Buto. How you doing, Mike?
Doing great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got our guy, Zach Willis, making his triumphant return in this episode of Bison Report Radio, brought to you, of course, by Championship Gold, the best sauce that's out there, right?
Best anything.
Yeah, really. And our guy, Cooper Walla, over at Mahana Fresh. Shout out, Mahana Fresh. Let's catch up. Butes, what have you been doing? Like I said, the greatest championship celebration picture of all time, and what has happened from April 14th working back to, you know, January 10th or whenever the heck we were stranded.
That whole month was crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely a crazy year with the whole spring season and fall ball coming up a few months after that. It was definitely packed, you know. It's been a great ride. It's been awesome being a Bison and being some of my best friends and awesome people and the awesome people of Fargo. And this is a special place I'll always hold in my heart. But, it's been an amazing ride. It's been an amazing ride. I've been blessed to come here and play ball.
So how, we'll go in the Wayback Machine briefly here. Chicago area, Illinois area, where are you from?
So I'm from Wisconsin, Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, about an hour north of Milwaukee.
Okay.
Yeah, so basically,
that's right.
Yeah.
You just said that the Bears thing is what's throwing me.
Yeah,
what's freaking me out.
Yeah.
So anyway, how does a kid from Fond du Lac? Because I know exactly where that is.
Yep.
How does a kid from Fond du Lac end up at MSU Mankato?
So I mean, so the thing about Fond du Lac, we have a lot of Bison roots, and we have a lot of Mankato roots as well. So, well, my good buddy Sam Stroloth, he was a left guard for Mankato. He went to the same high school as me a few years older. So I kind of got in with him there. He committed to Mankato and, had a great time, had a great experience there as well. But I mean, Mankato's a great city too. I mean, obviously, it's different. It's Bison Nation. Bison Nation, you know. It was awesome ride there as well. So
I think most Bison fans, and we'll let Zach fire in just a second here, but I think most Bison fans assume that you and B-Tom were some sort of like a package deal that you like talked to each other about. I mean, is that true? What was the conversation like? Because it was odd, obviously, at the time to have two guys from an elite level Division II program join a Division I program basically at the same time.
So I came, I was here the fall of 2020, correct? With Zach's, so I was here a semester before Brayden was here. And Brayden, when the whole COVID situation happened and the D2s didn't have a spring season, he decided it was in his best interest to see what was going on in the portal. So he had a lot of interest from all over the place. JMU really wanted him. UND really wanted him. SDSU, all those schools, you know. A couple FBSs, but I forgot. But he always wanted to be a Bison too. I mean, obviously he's from Bismarck, you know, and Brandon's story is pretty crazy too. Yeah. From you married.
We just had him in here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah. So he's been, I mean.
Yeah. You married, shout out, not a top level.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, just ricochet.
Sorry. Hope they get it turned around with Dale Lennon out there. But not a top level.
Yeah.
Right.
I've heard Ashley, though, they're making strides.
Good.
Yeah. I've
Good.
Heard they're making strides. I think they won 4 or 5 games last year.
Good. That's a market improvement.
Yeah.
When I was. Braden was there. Recruited. I think it was a little bit of dark
time. Yeah. I've heard he's told me some crazy stories about his time at Mary, but.
Yeah, you know, it's just crazy, like, just how his arc, and Ross and I have discussed that before, but, like, he was good enough to play here right out of high school. He was unbelievable. I played against him at BHS and when I was at West Fargo, and probably the best player I played against in high school. But I just wanted to, you know, kind of get your thoughts on, like, Ross is talking about playing at Mankato, which is, you know, elite level D2 football. But, you know, as a high school football player, your dream is to be a D1 football player. So what was it like for you guys, both of you, to not only come here and prove that you were a Division I level player, but have the success you guys did? You beat Tom, obviously, going on to the next level, and he's going to be successful at whatever he's doing. And you came in and you filled your role of something that any of you needed that was missing. You know, kind of that gap-plugging, big, nasty, snapping turtle that, like I talked about before. So what was it like to, you know, have the success at Mankato, be probably one of the better players in Division II football, to get that call up to play at NDSU and have the success, win the titles? Yep. Just kind of what are your feelings around that whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, I always wanted to be a Bison.
Sure.
Growing up, I've told the story before. Blaine Toshner played here in the 80s. Great family friend. Rest in peace, you know, rest his soul. But I remember I was about 5 years old digging around his cabinets. I found this big green and gold ring. I have it on my finger. Like, Blaine, what's this? I was like, can I have it? Blaine said, nope, you got to earn your own.
I love that.
And ever since then, during the recruiting process, like even towards the end, I wanted to be a Bison.
You know? What an awesome story.
But yeah, I loved my time at Mankato.
Yeah.
I mean, it was great. We had some great ball players. It was a great time. We won a lot of football games, a lot of conference championships, and had great coaches. I had great memories, but I wanted to see where I would translate the next level. That was the thing. So
you get to the next level, and you're working maybe with the twos, and you run up against Zach Willis. Talk to me about that experience.
God.
So I knew about Zach. So Zach was a big time recruit.
Oh my God! Really bleep it out.
No,
really,
I'm serious. Zach, I remember like coming here. Like you obviously. Coming to the camps, like you know who the guy is.
The number one rated recruit in the state of North Dakota.
Yeah.
Over here.
Yeah. I'm leaving.
No, but I've known about Zach for a while, you know. And it's like he was one of those faces that was very recognizable and why I came into the program. I'm being honest with you.
No, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Zach was a great ball player. I don't know if we can swear on this, but he had a lot of junk in the trunk, you know. It's off at the center. But, Zach's a good dude. Zach's a great ball player. And that's the thing about NDSU football. We have there's so many good ball players. Yeah. You know, there's just, it's such a crazy, it's an FCS program you wouldn't think. Like, the possibility of having 2 first-rounders and 2 back-to-back, the possibility of being a, you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, I mean, even a lot, like you and I had a heart-to-heart about kind of our football experiences and the fact that, like, if you and I go to basically any other FCS school, D1 FCS at our level, we're both starters, you know? Yep. It just kind of happens that it's so loaded with talent, but it's worth, you know, sacrificing some of those minutes to be part of what 100%. We're doing.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, you go from Mankato being the starter for 3 years and then here being a rotational guy.
And you and I talked about it, like we said, was like you go in and it was almost like I didn't play in a lot of career games, but like the practices were harder than the games on Saturday because it was just you're playing against other D1 starters every day. So, you know, like you said, it's so special and just being able to be a part of it. But, you know, obviously it was cool to see B-Tom and knowing him before. But the other part of the Mankato train that doesn't get discussed is Coach Joey B followed you guys too.
Joey B.
So what was that like to have somebody that, you know, you related to with that Mankato to be on campus too?
So before I left, I remember I was in the coaching offices at Mankato telling them basically.
No.
But yeah, before I remember Coach B. The inside joke over here, guys, or what's going on?
It was another Joey B.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Joe Beshorner? I'm not talking about Joey Blackmore. Our current running backs coach. Gotcha, okay,
gotcha. So I told him.
The defensive side of the ball.
Beshorner.
We're off the rails.
Big time.
No, but I remember he was not happy with me with transferring.
He walked past.
Like, I was leaving the hall, just got cleaned up my locker, and he looked at me. Dead eyes like this and walked into his,
you know,
into his office.
Knowing Coach Beshorner too, he could have been completely serious or 100% joking.
Exactly.
Around.
I love Coach B. Coach B's the man.
He is sneaky, one of the funniest dudes on the staff, and like would always come into the Ram room and just like the worst rambling, like 10-minute jokes with just like the worst payoff that only me and like Cody Mauch found funny, and everybody else would try to like kick him out the door.
Yeah,
you know, it was really fun getting close to him, and obviously being offensive side of the ball. But you know, it's got to be cool to see, you know, a coach having the success that, you know, the next step and coming up and
Kato pipeline.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Kato
pipeline.
North Dakota State can't be their favorite program right now.
No. Yeah. No, probably not.
We've had the opportunity to get some of like Zach's perspective, but the spring season was so unique in a number of ways. And obviously one of those ways was it didn't end up with you guys on the podium with confetti raining down. So, you get to North Dakota State, you were there practicing in fall camp, preparing for the game.
Yeah.
Preparing for fall 2020.
Well, actually, so exactly. But
okay.
Originally I was planning on redshirting. So the original plan was to redshirt my first year, because I always had redshirt. I was a true at Mankato.
Sure.
So I was the
stud.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, how can you keep
him on the bench? Like, it was, my original plan was to redshirt that the fall of 2020 and play the fall of 2021. So I was I was the scout team, obviously, because I was redshirting.
Yeah, I hated it because you were the guy I went against, and I'm like, this guy should be starting. Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. So, like, I mean, it was definitely an adjustment. You know, it's transferring is not all peaches and creams, especially in those first immediate stages. It's
just a funny anecdote. Like, your first summer here, everybody wanted to fight Buto because we would do walkthroughs. You know, it was like walkthrough tempo, and like it's something that you learn from watching other guys. Yeah. And like, we'd all been there 3 or 4 years, so we know how to do this walkthrough in the summer, right?
Yeah.
Buto is full speed Heisman, like Rose Bowling, and like, he would break my glasses and tear my tank tops. I threw like 4 shirts away because Buto was ripping them, like trying to crank on at D tackle. But like, everybody'd be like, if I get a shot at Buto, I'm fighting him. But like, you know, it's just one of those things. Good like luck. It's just being part of the thing. You understand it, but it also showed us like, hey, the kid's got grit. Yeah. He's gonna be all right. So I remember that you were redshirting, and then you got the call that it got pulled.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, thank God, I don't have to go against him anymore.
Well, then obviously it ended up being a redshirt because nothing counted that year.
Yeah.
So getting back to kind of what I was, and tangents are fine. We're plenty far off the rails at this point. you know, there's a standard.
Yep.
And you show up, and then that's, and not that it was your fault, obviously, but like, you show up and then the standard isn't met. What was your kind of experience of like the rare failure of NDS? It just doesn't happen. No. And then, you know, it's football in the spring, and then you got 23 games in one calendar, like all of the weird stuff. What was your experience, but specific to the spring?
The spring was definitely, I remember like, cause we went down with a lot of guys, you know, I remember coaches suiting up and practicing, cause we just didn't have the numbers.
Everybody was COVID or hurt or something.
Like was like you had Coach Buddha put the helmet on the visor playing running back.
Cody Morgan was scout team receiver.
Yelling at the D-backs as he's breaking people off.
Like, it was unbelievable.
It was crazy. You know,
this might be breaking moves.
This is why you bring Buto in.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if I should have said maybe I'm gonna trouble for that.
T-roll and pads?
If there was one person who wanted to, here's the thing, is he would have tried to hurt people. That's the thing.
No, you know, we were
just dragging poor Jackson
Hankey. Yeah.
I remember Coach Buddha. You know Coach Buddha is a bigger, stockier guy. He has a shoulder pad.
Say it.
He's like doing these stiff arming. He's shaking people off. It was hilarious.
Yeah, but we'd look down and we'd get done with practice and Coach Morgan and Coach Buddha just limping off the field. Like these old men, like Bobby, get the cart out here.
I think about that sometimes, like how crazy was that? I mean,
we had
D tackles having to play, like when we weren't in on like going against the scouts, we had to, D tackles had to play tight end. Sure.
You were breaking people off getting open.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I didn't know what I was doing. I can't. 1 to 5 yards is my max. Everything after that gets pretty rough. But
the whole thing was just weird, man. Like
it was.
And
it
playing that many games in a row and then not knowing if you're going to play a game. The fall was the worst. You know, you're getting ready to play and then games are canceled.
Then we get a game.
And then we're going through a fall camp schedule, basically, not knowing if there's a game at the end of it. Exactly. And it was hard mentally, but. You know, it almost sharpened those guys. You see guys like Cam Miller, Wisniewski, mm-hmm. these guys that were baptized by fire because of it.
Exactly.
You know, and actually my freshman year was after we lost to JMU in the semis. So I saw the same thing, not reaching the pinnacle. And it was by far the hardest summer I've ever been a part of. It could have been the fact I was a freshman, first time doing it. But there was a different edge to it. And it just stayed. Because nobody that was in that building that felt the loss wanted to feel that again.
Yeah, what was the edge like? Because obviously, you know, Zach had announced his retirement. He faxed in his papers. And, you know, you were still there. So what was the attitude of the squad from April 20th or whatever the hell it was to that first game this year?
There was definitely a sense of urgency. You know, I remember... Obviously, before the spring season, I never played for the Bison, so I never won a national championship. Sure. I've never done this, that, and the other. But there is, like, when you come here, there's a reason why NDSU is the program that it is, you know? And, like, there is, like, losing is not acceptable.
Yeah,
you know?
No.
Losing, especially three games, is completely unacceptable, you know?
Yeah.
And walking off that field in Sam Houston, like, it was definitely a disgusting feeling. You know, it was a disgusting feeling to say the least, and that lingered, and it honestly lingered more than like a loss has ever lingered for me because it was like we just ruined something. It was like the past how many years we've won national championships and we lost three games this spring. Like it was just unacceptable, and it definitely fed into the training in the off season, into the fall, into the fall season. You know, and.
I think something that doesn't get talked about enough with this, that whole spring season, is that this is such a developmental program, and all of it's based upon the full 12 calendar months of how you perform to win in January. We're playing spring ball right now.
Yeah.
And we'd be like week 9 of the spring season right now, back where it was in 2021. Yep. So just thinking about how backwards everything was and like...
That's why, you know, we were talking a little bit about a specific game last night, but I mean, there are going to be some dogs this year. Like I'm very interested to see North Dakota State with a full year of normal prep development.
Yeah.
I mean, especially offensively.
Some nasty, hungry cats ready to go.
Well, not only that, but like you just, I think for the first time since Trey left, we know what the deal is. It's 7.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just the fact that these guys actually get their bodies back from playing 30 games in a calendar year to, you know, spring ball is a developmental period. You let the young guys, you know, cut their teeth, and the old cats that need it get to sit out. You know, I see Tut in the jersey without pads on. He should be.
Yeah.
Tut's good enough where he can sharpen it up during fall camp. Same thing with Dawson. These guys that need a little bit of time.
Confirmed olds.
You know how it was being an old guy. Like you need the, you know, even just one day of practice off a week is huge.
Sure.
You know, that's a far cry from what the offensive linemen get because, you know, we're double repping. There's 11 guys total. And
even the spring it was held down there in the spring.
Yeah.
I remember... they call it the Vietnam days.
Yeah.
There was no rotation. So like these guys would do how many six periods of straight scout reps?
Yeah. And it's nice that like we're finally into a little bit of a reset where we just played a fall season going through spring ball back into a fall season again.
Oh, go ahead.
So Buttes. Or go ahead, no, you, because I'm going to start a completely different train of thought. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, I'm helping out coaching a little bit this year. You know, just coaching might be a thing I want to pursue.
Sure.
And they're looking good. You know, they're looking, especially in the D-line, you got Javi, he's looking really good. You got Eli, who is, you know, All-American caliber player. Dutton Heifer is looking really good. Will Mostart's looking really, really, really good, too. Everyone's, it's going to be, like to what you said
before. I want to talk about that in a sec. Yeah. We'll touch on that because that's one of my lines of questioning. But describe your experience because in Frisco because I feel like you're obviously friendly with guys like B-Tom, like Zach, like, you know, 22, 23-year-old dudes.
Yep.
But you're also the rookie. You're like, these guys have been, like, I've been to Frisco. Cordell's like, this is my fifth time in Frisco, whatever.
I have a street named after me.
Yeah, exactly. And, but you're not that way. Like, you got to do it once. Mm-hmm. It went super well. Yeah. And, you know, that was it. But describe the whole thing.
The Frisco, you're saying? Yeah, it was awesome. You know, it's crazy because that was probably, how many people were at the game, probably 20,000, 23,000.
Yeah, I think it was sell out there.
Yeah, it's sold out.
It's over 20,000.
It was crazy. You know, it was definitely a crazy. It was like I was bawling my eyes out after the game. It was like one because that was the end of my
football. That was your one shot.
Yeah, that was the end of my football career. Yep. You know, it's crazy because I remember like the clock's winding down. It's like I'm never playing football again. You know, and to have to go out like that, it was just I wouldn't trade that memory for all the money in the world.
Yeah,
you know, that's just how I look at it. I mean, my family was there and celebrating with your buddies. And it's just one of those things that you can't replace. You know?
Sure. Speaking of family, your dad is a chef, is a restaurateur. Yep. Talk to us about it. Let's know.
So Ted
Vito. We are men of food.
Yep. Yes, obviously.
So talk to us about it.
So Ted, the Chop House.
Okay. Theo's 24. So Ted Vito, you know, born
Chef Ted.
Chef Ted. Exactly. He so born and raised in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, obviously, and he wanted to be a chef, obviously. So he moved down to Milwaukee, you know, got a gig down there, learned from some of the top guys down there, and then he moved to Chicago and was basically trying to get a job anywhere as like a sous chef, or just like a salad guy or whatever. So
line cook. Just
Exactly.
Involved.
Exactly. Yeah. So he meets a man by the name of Charlie Trotter, which is in the cooking world, so the chef's world. He's one of the top guys, you know? And so he told my dad, you can work for me. I'm not going to pay you. Basically, he's a very
it's a cutthroat world.
Cutthroat. Why? He said, my dad was like, as front director, I'll do anything, you know?
Yeah.
You can work for me, but I'm not going to pay you, and you're going to start off doing salads.
Incredible.
So eventually, he.
Free labor's good. Yeah.
So he was living in Chicago, you know, and calling home for money just to, you know, get his foot in the door, you know, and he, eventually worked his way up to be his side hand man and became good buddies with him. So came back home. We opened up Theo's 24 and we opened up, we owned a couple other bars, Dillinger's, which was another prominent bar in Fond du Lac, and Finnegan's, which was across the street. So, he loves it. You know, he's one of those guys that's telling Zach, he binge cooks. He'll cook the cook, and when people come over, he'll cook and not touch any of the food. He'll just, you know, he'll make some ramen noodles. That's what he'll eat. Like, he's a fanatic. He's a fanatic.
Steak guy, Italian food guy. So, what's he love to do?
It's more French cuisine. So you have your mix in with a little American. You have your steaks, you have your pastas, you have your seafoods, and then he'll throw in specials. I'm Lebanese, so he'll throw in some Lebanese food. Like he had this Lebanese watermelon salad, which is delicious.
Road trip.
You know, hey, I can tell all the coaches, you know, you guys want to come down?
That's my country.
Yeah, you guys want to come down? Hey, whenever you're at Lambeau, we're only an hour drive down south,
my best man at my wedding was one of the top brewers at Lakefront.
Okay. Yeah.
In Milwaukee. Yep. Yep. And just left to literally run a place down in Albuquerque. So, like we said, Milwaukee's my city.
Milwaukee's fun.
I've done all the things, been all the places.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I'm headed there in June. I'm going to go visit your old man in Fondy.
Got to.
Yeah.
No, 100%.
We'll have to talk about the timing of that because there's off air. Off air. Gal, now my mind is what we were going to. Oh, yeah. So, anyway, this is what we're talking about. No Michael Buto, no Costner Ching, no Lane Tucker, and that's it. But that's a lot of snaps.
Yeah.
I mean, if I were prepared, if I were better at this, I would have your actual snap counts up from PFF College. But, I mean, that's a lot of snaps. Mm-hmm. So you're helping out. Talk to us about, like, what to expect from this defensive tackle group that on paper looks thin.
Yeah. No. I mean, there's some studs. I mean, Javi's having a great spring right now. Eli's always, you know, it's Eli Mostert.
He's unreal, man.
Yeah, he is. He is unreal. Will is so smooth. He is so smooth with what we ask him to do. And then you have Dutenhofer, who's just a monster in there too. You know, just he's that big.
Talk to me about Dutenhofer, because he's a guy that Matt couldn't keep his name out of his mouth. Matt being Matt Ants. And you, like, I would never think about a true freshman defensive tackle getting his shirt ripped. And, like, there are conversations about it. So talk to me about this kid, because he's a big deal, apparently.
No, he is. No, he's going to be a – he was one of those home run hitters. Him was – I mean, obviously, Wiz was a – they came the same year together.
No, Wiz was older.
But Cole, Peyton, you know, Dutenhofer.
Just dudes that show up, and you're like, oh.
Just dudes that, you know, they're going to be good. Like, those kids, like, I mean – but Jackson is just one of those kids who is extremely strong for his age.
Yeah.
You know, the strength is there. The technique is what we're still working on right now. But he's going to be an animal, and he's going to have a great career as a Bison.
Which with those fundamental building blocks, like D tackle's a spot where you can get away with some of imperfect technique. It can be made up by some athleticism, a little bit of strength.
Like, none of you know how to do anything. Offensive linemen are the technicians.
Yeah. Because, you know, you ask them, we're just cheaters. We ask, you know, you ask us, they're just cheaters. But kind of break that down, because Ross and I had clamored for that big, thick D tackle to fill that spot. And, you know,
and that was like, because that was your job. And that was when NDSU lost games, it was not stopping the run.
Southern
not
Illinois.
Stopping Isaiah Davis. Not stopping Pierre Strong. Turns out those are some dudes, too. That was so rare in Bison football to get the ball jammed down your throat.
Yeah, no. I mean, the question is, what's the technique-wise, the technique? You're asking
what was your question?
So a little bit like, who do you think can fill that spot? Or a little more inside baseball from somebody who's more defensive minded than I am. Is it just a transition that the NDSU?
Because we're begging for like a 320-pound one tech.
I want someone who looks like me right now to go play D tackle. Yeah,
I mean, so Tanguay, I believe, was 300.
Big boy, Steidel.
They just like their D tacks between, especially their noses, between 280 and 285. That was what me, Costner, and Javi, they wanted us at. Now, I personally, for guys like me, I play at Mankato at about 295, 300. I moved a lot better at 280, 285, you know. And I maintained my strength. It wasn't like I lost any strength.
You didn't
get
blown off the ball.
Yeah, no, exactly. So a lot of it, too, is just like technically wise, especially as a nose guard, it's all about fighting in the phone booth. You know, a lot of it is not about weight. It's just you have to want to punch someone in the mouth.
Yeah.
You can't. There's kids who are, a lot of kids, especially these guys, are afraid to punch someone in the mouth. You know, you just can't be afraid. That's what separates like the really good ball players, especially on the line, and the ones who are average and the ones who aren't. Like, you have to be, you can't be afraid to fight someone. You know, like,
yeah. And like Ross and I had that discussion all year, in the fact that, like, sure, you can make that stuff being 280, 285.
Yeah.
But it's a lot harder to lift 310 off the ball than it is 285.
Yeah,
do you think it's just kind of this transition in college football that, like,
it could be?
Obviously, it's easier to defend the spread at 285.
Yeah,
and move side to side and rush a passer. Yep. You know, but if South Dakota State's going to get in the pistol and come downhill on you, it would have been sweet to have a plugger,
commanding
a double team and not moving.
Yeah, no, I'm on board with you guys. I mean, I don't know the perfect answer to it. I think maybe it has
one kid on the roster.
I think it might have to do with the evolution of the game. Sure. You know? Not many people run the ball like North Dakota State.
Yeah.
That play offense at North Dakota State anymore.
Yeah, and I think a little bit plays into the fact like, hey, we might lose the marker. That sucks, but we're primed to beat Sam Houston State in the playoffs. You know, that kind of thing. Yeah. Where
beat James Madison, beat most of college football.
Yeah. It could just be the atmosphere of college football, and everything goes in pendulums, it seems like, where now
building probably NDSU to stop NDSU is not smart.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a good point. It's a really good point.
You ran with the twos.
Yep.
So, you know, I think obviously Bison fans have seen plenty of Jalen Sundell.
Yep.
They've seen plenty of Nash Jensen, plenty of Kubis. Talk to me about some of these younger offensive linemen that you've had to go against in practice that the Bison should be excited about, because Cody can't play anymore. Nash can't play anymore. Right. They are eventually going to have to move on.
Yeah.
And so, Kubis, shoot, he can't play anymore after this year either, I don't think. So who are some of the young Rams that Bison fans need to be on the lookout for?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Gray's able. You know, Gray's going to have a hell of a career. He's one of those extremely athletic human beings for his size. Brandon Westberg, great upside. I mean, he's a gritty, really gritty player, and he's shown a lot of steps of improvement this past year, and he'll be a great ball player as well. Mason Miller, he has some tremendous upside as well.
Cordell Jr.
Yep. I mean, there's a lot of good guys. The offensive line this year is going to be stacked.
Yeah.
It's going to be
old.
Yeah, and good. Old and good. I mean, it's going to be – I mean, obviously, with James Madison, who was I talking to you about? I was talking with Cordell about the other day, like James Madison and Sam Houston and these teams leaving the FCS. I don't see, I mean, you have obviously the SDSU and the UNIs, and I don't think NDSU is going to skip a beat this year. I don't think we're going to skip a beat too bad this year, you know, and we'll never know. You never know until it happens, but I'm really excited to watch those guys ball out this year, for sure.
Mentioned Cordell, and I think Zach wants to do something with it here, and we'll let him go nuts. But Cordell obviously repped guard, said he repped some center in the spring. So you've been blocked by Cordell. Yeah. You've messed around with him. What's your favorite Cordell story in practice that you are allowed to share here?
I'm allowed. Okay. There's a few. There's definitely a few.
Oh, we're sharing Buto practice stories.
Me Cordell are roommates, so like we live together. Okay. There's a couple stories. Let's get into a little. Me and Cordell are one of those rare human beings that aren't like we like getting hit in the head.
You start.
we like getting hit in the head.
Put it on a T-shirt.
When me and Cordell get together Saturday night, something's gonna get broken. Something's gonna get broken.
You guys were big. Start the fight to get practice going, guys.
That was what it was.
And it was it was a real fight, but it was staged.
Yeah, it was definitely. It was like a WWE. You know, WrestleMania was just last week. It was definitely similar to that.
My Buto practice story, man, is the one. It's on TikTok, and it was the most Buto thing ever. It was him and Sundell, probably the second to last week of the season. It was late in the year. And we're doing one-on-ones, and Sundell blocks you after the whistle a little bit, as old linemen do.
Yeah.
And you hip-tossed our starting center right into our starting D-tackle's knees. And you had probably half a second before six offensive linemen were on your back. Yeah. And you had my face mask. I had your face mask. We were both foaming at the mouth. Yeah. Scream, and all I heard was Coach Hentz in the corner, "I love it! Let's go!" I'm going to find that and put it on Twitter because it is the most funny video of all time.
Go ahead. What do you got?
What's going on here? So we're going to throw you on the hot seat. If it hasn't been proven through this conversation, we have one of the most unique brains in the world sitting in the Bison Report studio right now. So I just want to get some topical conversations here. Let's go. More doors or wheels in the world?
Oh, my God.
Oh, jeez. I mean, I would have to say there's more wheels. I mean, you put cars, you know, like you know, any facility, there's things pushing things with wheels on.
Sure.
I mean,
I got wheels on my chair.
Yeah.
Wheels on your chair. No, there's one door. You know,
yep. How many 18 wheelers are out there?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's right. that's a bulletproof argument. Let's go. Fellow big guy, travel a little bit. Are you a recline seats on the plane guy? And if you do it, you have to be cool with people doing it to you.
I mean, it depends, really. If I have a, there's a child behind me, they have a lot of room back there, you know? I'm gonna recline it, you know?
Right in that five-year-old's face.
Yeah, I'm putting my hands up.
Oh, I love it.
This is an older lady. She's 5'1". I'm good.
Oh, yeah. Slam it back.
I mean, I always compare sizes. I mean, all right, 5'1", 100. I'm getting comfortable back here. You know?
So you think it is situational because...
Very situational.
Okay. Because there are people on Twitter who will argue that they're not being jerks if they slam the seat into your knees, being a big guy behind them.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I'm not for that.
Sure. Yep. Okay. Yeah.
If there's a bigger guy behind me, I'm not doing that.
Sure. You know? Okay. A little bit of gray area. Yep. All right. Let's hear it because you've told me this in private before. Can you just go on the record and say Big O is better than Code Green?
I just can't. That's just one of those things.
Oh, so
that's
not a man of your word. Okay. never all right, said that. Saw this one. If a baguette could move, how would it move? Like a worm or would it roll?
Can you clarify what a baguette for me is? Like, what is the shape of a baguette?
Your father is a French chef. It's like a long bread. Yeah.
It would definitely roll, I would say.
Okay. Not like a worm.
No.
All right. Yeah. Is it pronounced GIF or JIF?
It's pronounced JIF.
Incorrect.
It's not. No, the guy, well, that's an argument for a different day, but I saw the inventor of the term.
Doesn't matter. JIF. It is. Okay. Pineapple on pizza?
No.
Good. All right. So here,
me.
Yeah, for the horrible food take guy over there. Let's see here. Last one, kind of more of a long form answer. If you could take two people in the world and form a team of three to take on the Hunger Games, who are you taking? Let's go former Bison teammates or famous, you know, celebrities, athletes.
By the way, this is a baguette.
Okay. Maybe it does move like a worm.
Yeah. That's kind of what I thought was the most efficient way for it to move.
Probably.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Who's your team of three? Who are you taking Katniss Everdeen down with?
Me, Cordell Volson.
Okay. Too loud already. The easiest, the most findable team of three of all time.
No, you're right. But you guys in a close quarter with Katniss, it's over. You know, I mean.
Bone arrow chick. Okay, never mind. third person.
You know what? I'm about to say Jay Kubis.
Oh, my God.
Jay Kubis.
You're loud and you're stinky.
Yes.
Fastest way to find people of all time. Yeah. Quinn, and Ross are taking you down right away.
What's your strategy?
I'm racing to the cornucopia, and I'm chopping all your heads off.
Okay. What I'm doing is I'm gathering branches and making spears.
Stop it, Buto.
And it's going to be over after that.
Okay. I just wanted... Because you and I have had these conversations a lot in the locker room, and you know, late Saturday nights have turned into talks like this.
Yep.
So I just want to Bison Nation to get a little bit of a peer inside the brain, a little different than our normal conversation on Bison Report, but I needed people to understand what we're working with here.
This is the outro music. Thank you guys so much for listening to whatever this was. Thank you to Michael Buto for making time. Thank you to our sponsors, the Deck Barbecue Company and Mahana Fresh. You guys have a phenomenal weekend. Go Bison. That was as good as I could. Oh, God.